Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Is hair a material?
Are biscuits a material?
Are crystals a material?
Is plastic a material?
Is porridge a material?
Can gases be a material?
Are eggs a material?
Is water a material?
What do you call everything that isn't a material?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at your question.
And yet you continue to do so.
Hello, and welcome back to Handmade, the making podcast with real talk about materials. I'm your host, Anna Pozhaisky, and this episode I talk to entrepreneur Meghna Giridhar about her work promoting handmade artisans from around the world via her online platform called Let's Curate. Meghna is based in New York City, and our conversation actually got slightly delayed in February due to sort of heavy snow-related Wi-Fi issues. In fact, the signal was actually quite patchy at times in this conversation too, so sorry in advance for any sort of sticky Zoom audio that you might hear on this recording. But I still think you're really going to enjoy hearing about Meghna's philosophy on the importance of handmaking and supporting artisans around the world. So I started by asking her how Let's Curate first came about.
Let's begin from the beginning, I guess. It depends on how much time you have, but I'll keep it short. So I was born and brought up in Mumbai, India, and I've been in New York City for the past 14 years. My academic background is pretty much what you would see with a lot of people. I've done my MBA in finance and international marketing from universities in India and the US. And in my pre-Let's Curate life, I worked with venture capital funds, nonprofits, academic institutions. But my life now is a complete departure from that whole arena.
Nice.
So currently, I'm founder of Let's Curate. To give you a one-line description, it's a curator platform that empowers and celebrates independent artisans from all corners of the world. We kickstarted with 10 artisans from 10 countries, and we've expanded to represent 34 from 23 countries as of now. The common thread is these artisans are focused on custom handcrafted products. And it's more about them telling their stories through their works. This is more about spending time on the process versus churning out stuff. So that's the common thread. We are very, very careful and picky about the people that we showcase. And I've been very fortunate to actually have had a very easy journey recruiting and kind of getting the network going. These are people who create products in the fields of art, home decor, fashion, you name it, we have it. So the platform emerged, I would say, during the course of my travels. I'm an avid traveler, and since the very beginning, the more I traveled, the more I came in contact with people who were involved in handcrafted work. And the interesting thing was either the work was, it was all handcrafted, but it was either steeped in traditional skills that had been passed on from generation to generation, or even more interesting was the fact that the younger people were creating their own contemporary spins on that. But there were two things that I realized. The more I traveled, the more I realized there were two things. So one was the artists themselves didn't realize how unique their stuff was, primarily because no one had seen them. No one had told them how amazing their work was. So they had no clue. You're making stuff because your grandfather made something and he's just passed on those skills for you. You have no idea that it's actually something out of the ordinary.
Mm.
And this happened multiple times. During one of my travels in Colombia, there is a neighborhood which was in the past known for, had a very violent background, and now it houses many graffiti artists. And I came across one art gallery which had absolutely stunning paintings by a little child who lived in that neighborhood. And I spoke to the parents and I said, coming from New York City, I always feel like, why is this person not, why is he not on the world arena? I don't think everyone thinks that way, but in my mind, I was like, this needs to be celebrated. And they said, what do you mean? We don't even know what you're talking about. It's just something he does to kill time.
Mm.
And that to me was, it was innocent, but it was also kind of heartbreaking in a way, because I felt like this, this child one day will just grow up and will lose interest because no one has actually taken the time to encourage him, develop the technique that he has learned, which is very special to that particular neighborhood. Similar stories from India, from Europe, as in when I travel. Now, the other thing was, because no one told them, they didn't think it was worth investing any time, nor did they think it was worth making all this accessible to a broader audience. And there are people who are very discerning lovers of special products. But, there was a complete disconnect between the two.
Mm.
For many years, I kept looking for other platforms or other organizations that maybe bridge the gap. And yes, there are so many amazing organizations and nonprofits that, help village artisans or focus on a certain tribe. They try to promote, someone from a particular part of the country. But it was, and it's great, because I think those need to be unified, and there has to be one platform that brings them all together, because I think they're all working in isolation towards the same goal. I looked and I looked, could not find it. I mulled over it. And when I say mulled over it, I thought over it for 10 years. Right now. And then after 10 years, I said, you know what? It's enough mulling. If I don't do it now, it's never going to happen. Let me just kickstart. It was baby steps. And that's when I decided to launch it. Let's Curate launched in June 2019. It's been a year and a half. I'm still here. We're still here. And I'm so excited about the adventure so far.
So how do you go about finding your craftspeople and artisans to feature?
So interestingly, that's why I think it was such a long process before I actually launched it.
Mm.
As I traveled, I would literally just collect cards or collect contact information from the people that whose work I like.
Mm.
And I bought and I put it all over my house, and people would come over and they would say, oh, where did you get this from? And I would be like, you know what? Unfortunately, it's in a little town in Morocco, and I don't think I'm going to be able to go back there.
Yeah.
So I felt like, oh my God, I missed out an opportunity to kind of just show people the person who made this.
Mm.
So literally it kickstarted with me collecting a bunch of cards or contact information. I kept in touch with them. I bought stuff from them just to see whether they were consistent, of course, because, I was already thinking in terms of making it a business, but I didn't know how.
Mm.
So the first 10 people, I think I kept in touch with them for 6 or 7 years. And I realized they kept developing their style, but there was one thing that they stood for. So when it was time, I went to them and I said, I want to do this. Do you think you would be interested? And you won't believe this, Anna, all 10 of them said yes. And it was, in my mind, I had all kinds of scenarios on how I would like pitch it, what I would say, how I would convince them, and it was a 5-minute conversation almost with all of them. That's the thing which I found it to be so thrilling, that people are so open, talented people and creators. They just want appreciation. They want some encouragement, and that's all they need to keep going.
Mm.
So the first 10 was the network of the first 10 people. That's how it came to be. And then what happened was, when we launched, there were tricklings of requests from other artisans who had seen us. People who you know, maybe, and it sounds ridiculous. They, you know, they would come to me and they said, you know, we only have 12 followers on Instagram, but we do this thing and we learn this from, and, you know, this is the kind of, you know, we're going to talk about myths later, but this is the kind of myths social media also propagates. Mm. If you don't have a million followers, right, you're nowhere, you know, you do, how dare you come and ask for representation.
Yeah.
And I'm not a social media person. Of course we have, you know, an Instagram handle for Let's Curate, but I don't think that kind of depicts the reality of what's out there. Everything is not in social media. And I would say that's really not important. Let's just talk about what you want to do. Mm. There were people who also refreshingly said, oh, you know what? Now I understand what your brand is. I'm not ready right now, but let me just see where I go with this. There were students who were studying and they said, oh, you know what? Maybe let me take a little time and I'll come back to you.
Nice.
So it's kind of developed as a collaborative space. And I've kept in touch with everyone who approached me, because who knows? Who knows what they will be capable of in the next few years? And that's how the network has expanded.
Mm.
We initially began just by showing an entire collection from, it was based, you know, because it was a travel-based idea, it's kind of divided based on continent.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Europe, there's Asia, there's New Zealand, Australia, all of those things, Africa. And then slowly it expanded to other aspects of the platform where we have something called Artist Spotlight, where we only feature emerging painters, textile designers, not product related as such, but more in terms of art and paints,
yeah,
the paintings and stuff like that. So we did Artist Spotlight. Every time we launch something new, and now I feel a little more confident, I would go to people and I would just say, this is the concept, but just know that this is not the only thing that this platform does. That is the other thing I wanted to do. It's, yes, we do sell the products. Yes, it's a shop. It's not a nonprofit. We are, you know, this is aimed at generating revenues and profits. But this is also, you know, there are other aspects through which we can showcase you. So, you know, you work with one person, they like what you do, then you work with them on something else, and it keeps growing. So it's not like you sell me the product and then I sell it and then, you know, that's the end of the relationship. It's more of a growing space, because I think that's how talented people think.
Mm.
It's not, oh, let me make a painting of, you know, a monkey and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's technique, it's process. So essentially that's how it has grown so far. We've come a long way in the past year and a half because we were also struck by the pandemic, like many others, and artisans have had a tough time. It forced me to think of other ways to keep this going. Initially, it was an online platform. Then people said, you know what, I'm in Morocco, but I would love my products to be seen in New York City. How do I do that? So we would take the products and go to pop-up fairs,
okay,
and, you know, artisan fairs. And New York has tons and tons of those. It's such a fantastic city for that kind of thing. Then the pandemic hit. So then, yeah, I had to think of something else. You know, so things like that. So we've kind of innovated as things have been thrown at us. But it's interesting because had it not been for the pandemic, I don't think I would have thought of all the new things that I, you know, the new initiatives that I launched in 2020.
Mm.
It was all thanks to that, you know, so it's not all been negative. So instead of doing physical fairs, we did something called ready to ship, because we had all this inventory and we wanted to show people. So regular collection, just to give a brief distinction. So regular collection is where you come to me and you say, I want this necklace. And then I say, okay. And it's a process, because then I say, what color, what materials, this is what I like to do. What do you want to show? You know, is it something, is it a statement piece? Is it what you're going to wear every day? And then the process begins. So it's a more deliberate process. Ready to ship is you see what you on the platform, and then if you like it, it's shipped from our New York office to you in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already handcrafted and customized, but it cannot be customized further. That's the only difference. Artist Spotlight, of course, if you are interested in a painting, you reach out to us and then we, you know, kind of handle the whole process. So things like this just came up because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And Yes, it's interesting how maybe I would not have had to challenge my brains to kind of work on these things if it was not for this crisis.
Definitely. Yeah, lots of new opportunities opening up, even though certain other doors have been closed.
Correct.
I'm interested to hear how you choose the artisans that you want to work with. You know, what is it you're looking for specifically from them? Is it a certain type of story? Is it a certain, you know, product range? How do you go about curating your range?
It's not about the product. It's more about what is the background behind a product line?
Mm.
What made you do this? Is it because your grandmother taught you how to knit this and, you know, it's something special? And of course, it has to be something special. Is it, you know, I didn't know, we have an artisan from Ukraine and she makes wire wrap jewelry. She just uses wires and she makes these exquisite, elaborate jewelry pieces. And it was something that her grandmother taught her, you know, something like that. But, and you see it and you know it's special, not because you've never seen wire wrap jewelry otherwise, but it's just the special technique that she uses. We have an artisan from Moldova, who uses something called Romanian lace technique, again, to make, you know, these super lightweight, very sculptural pieces.
Mm.
So those are the kinds of things I'm interested in. I'm not interested in showing pieces that I would see on Amazon.
Mm. Yeah.
Just to be very, you know, just to be very clear. It has to be special in a way that it has, there is some legacy to it. And by that, I don't mean it has to be strictly traditional. It has to follow all the techniques of classical painting or artwork. It can be a contemporary spin on things. But when you see it, you know that it's something that has, you know, kind of trickled down from many, many generations. And now you've done your own special twist to the whole thing. So what has happened is I think it was crucial that the first 10 people that we launched with would kind of represent the kind of work we want to showcase.
Mm.
That set the stage because quickly we realized that the requests that we were getting were from non-traditional makers.
Mm.
So it was half the battle was won when we launched because it kind of said, this is who we are.
Yeah.
If you follow the same kind of thinking or philosophy, get in touch with us because we want to hear from you. What happened was later as, you know, now I think it's a little more, for lack of a better word, sophisticated because we have requests from all kinds of people. We have requests from sculptors and painters. You know, it's easy to, I would say, because we have a shop, it's easy to show you a pair of earrings and then talk about what's special about it. But something like a sculpture is, you know, it's a different kind of audience. It's not, I don't buy, you know, like a beautiful, you know, like wall-to-wall painting on a day-to-day basis.
Mm.
I would do that maybe once in a lifetime. So as time has passed, and we got requests from those kinds of people too, who are making unusual things which you don't need on a day-to-day life, in your day-to-day life.
Yeah.
So that kind of gave birth to Artist Spotlight because I don't want to turn away anyone who has that kind of passion and, you know, who has that belief that it's okay to be slow.
Mm.
It's okay to spend the time. It's okay to, you know, I don't make any of these things. But because I'm in close contact with these people and talk to them almost every day, I realize how difficult it is to not go down the path of mass producing something.
Mm.
You know, I feel it's a constant battle for them to say, oh, this pair of jewelry is selling pretty well, so let me just do this for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there has to be appreciation and encouragement for people who say, that was great, but now I want to kind of creatively also explore this. If they don't get that, you know, I think it's frustrating for everyone. It's frustrating for them because then they'll keep doing the same thing over and over again. And maybe someday, you know, that'll die. People may not be interested in that anymore.
Mm.
But unfortunately, they never got the time or the space to do the other thing that they wanted. So the platform in that sense is my statement as in to say, if you are doing something and interesting, come to me and we'll figure out a way to showcase you. Mm. It could be through the shop. It could be through a spotlight. We do something called limited edition because we, in 2020, there was a very real problem. So people were didn't have access to enough materials. They didn't have access to all the stuff that they need to do, you know, to paint or to create or to knit and things like that. So I had a bunch of people coincidentally like approaching us at the same time saying, you know what, I can just make one piece. Can we do something about that? And that's how limited edition was born.
Nice.
So limited edition has that one piece, you buy it, it's yours. And if she makes it, it's never going to be repeated again in that sense. So, but it emerged because of that, you know, that crisis where people said, I really don't have, you know, I cannot make 10 pieces out of this.
Yeah.
Even if it's 10 different pieces, I just have this one thing because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So that kind of led to, so I don't want to turn away anyone who has something to say and who has something to say that's different from what's kind of out in the market, out in the mass produced, institutionalized, I would say, arena, where I think artisans also, you know, I think there is also this other frustration where they kind of tend to get anonymous. There are lots of platforms where you say, you see it's handcrafted, it's custom, but who made it?
Mm.
I don't know who made it. I love it. And I think people would be interested in knowing the story behind that person. They deserve to have their voice being heard. So I think it's a bunch of these things that have led to all these initiatives that have all coincidentally happened in 2020. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it just, the best laid plans are always, you know, they're always destroyed, like it happened with us, Anna. But, you know, I just feel like maybe if you keep an open mind, something nice might come out.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
For sure. That's a great philosophy. I'm really interested in kind of the importance of place because, you know, living somewhere, you're in New York, I'm in London.
Yes.
There are people from all around the world right on our doorstep. Why was it important to you to access people who were physically all around the world rather than, you know, just people that were local to you who would have been, you know, having access to those types of cultures, but in where you are?
You know, I'm privileged in the sense that I have the resources and the means from, you know, I think it goes back to my parents who encouraged traveling all the time.
Mm.
I don't remember a single break where I was home and, you know,
nice.
Even if it was a local trip somewhere. And I think travel also reveals, like I said, cultures that you don't know of. Yes, we know, you know, we read about it in books, right? You prepare your itinerary and you say, I'm going to go to that restaurant. Nothing compares to actually going to the restaurant and eating the food.
Yeah.
You know, you'll have like these menus with these elaborate descriptions, and in your mind, you're like making up all this, you know, this, the imagery. But when you go and actually eat it, it's, you know, I don't think you can compare those two experiences. So for me, the place was important because it's, you're bringing back a part of that with you, and it's with you to enjoy and appreciate. And I think it also, you know, life is, for most people, it's, yes, you have your job, you have your family. But I think that adds a little, that's why it's so personal. That's why I believe in the custom handcrafted thing, because that piece, it's at the end of a year or 2 years. Initially, maybe you might be like, oh, you know, I spent so and so for this. A lot of people think that way. And I think, yes, value is a big part of this. But initially, the process begins with, oh, you know, or if someone in a conversation, it would be, how much did you pay for that? Oh, I paid this much for it. But I found this other scarf, which was, you know, like $10 less. Something like, it always begins like that. But if you truly, you know, understand where it came from, which town it came from, who made it, as time goes by, you will appreciate the beauty and the magic behind it. And that's when, you know, it's, so I think travel, the place is important because it is bringing a part of that world in your own personal arena and then enjoying it and appreciating it. That's why the stories behind the makers are important. You know, for someone to say, oh, this was handcrafted in Europe. Where in Europe? Which part? Who did it? I mean, who is she? Who is he? Like, you know, that kind of thing. It does add, you know, and this is taking me down another line of thought, which is about this myth that, oh, you know, it's handcrafted. It, you know, it's like specialized. You work with the maker one-on-one. It gives you this feeling of, oh, you know, you need to be super rich because, you know, you read Architectural Digest and you're like, oh my God, this was custom made.
Yeah.
And this lamp was like, you know, it came out of this thought that I had with the car. And people are like, oh my goodness, like I really need to be at that level to have access to this. But it's not true. I think people who create would happily create something. Yes, the money is important, but it's just to keep them going. And it's just for giving them the space to keep creating. I don't think it's right to assume that everything has to be only for a certain segment of the audience. Everyone deserves to appreciate this. And so I also wanted to, you know, I found scarves from Morocco, which were very, very cheap, but the work behind that, and I'm shocked because I would go back to that person and say, are you sure it's so cheap? Because you've put in so much work. And again, they had no inkling of how amazing that work was and how, you know, it stood apart from all the other stuff that you see in even in a city like New York, because, you know, even in New York, there's a certain, cities are branded in a certain way, you know, and it's good to, you know, when you get something from somewhere else, it breaks that mold. So, you know, it's also, I want the platform to break the mold, to break the myth that, oh, you know, this, I don't deserve this because, you know, why would someone want to make this for me? Why would someone put in so much effort and time? If, is it going to take 3 weeks for him? Then, you know, am I worth it? Yes, everyone is worth it. And that's the only way creativity can be encouraged. And it will be a win-win for both. Because when it's accessible to everyone, it gives more form to a creator's mind space. It gives the customer what they want. And it's all the more special because it's actually been worked on together by the creator and the buyer. So in that sense, yes, I think another big objective of the platform is to say, you know, this is for you if you want it. Just take the first step, connect with the person, and maybe you'll make magic together, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. And it's not just for, you know, very wealthy art collectors as well, right?
Absolutely.
It's affordable for everyone.
Absolutely. And, you know, there is something for everyone. That's the message. It's not about, you know, alienating that audience and saying, oh, you know what, this is us and you are you. And, you know, it's two different worlds. The world is a small place. We can all coexist. We can all enjoy beauty and art in various price points. It doesn't have to be $10,000. It can be a $10 thing, where, but it's made with heart, it's made with passion. So why go down this route of fast fashion where it's like, you know, 5,000 pieces of the same t-shirt, yeah, and instead of, you know, like enjoy the one t-shirt where someone has done a beautiful illustration, which means something to you.
Definitely. You've already half answered this question, I think, but I'm going to pose it again. Because I actually just wrote it down while you were talking, because obviously one of the incentives that you've talked about is to be able to kind of fund the work of these artists and kind of give them kind of financial means to carry on. But what else is in it for the artists apart from finances?
It's exposure. It is the money part for sure, because there are a lot of pieces, especially custom paintings. What we do is we talk about, you know, a lot of the artisans. The other thing we do is we have an artisan from Iran who has this beautiful custom painting. It's huge. So we never, you know, there are some pieces that we keep in the office and, you know, the artisan is paid. And then, of course, the whole, you know, the process is, you know, we pay them, they send it to us, we sell it, we promote them, all of those things. But there are certain special pieces which we cannot, you know, we would not feel right about just keeping it in the inventory. I feel like everyone, so there are lots of pieces that are in the artisan studios, so we don't buy it from them outright, but we give them all the avenues of promotion. So whether it's we do webcasts, we do podcasts with them, you know, we talk about the process. You know, with one of our Australian artisans, we did a video where she took us around her studio and she showed the piece that she had made specifically for us.
Cool.
So it's also it's not an economic investment for the artisan in the sense that they don't have to worry about shipping when it is such a large piece.
Yeah.
So we do kind of, we're very, very mindful of how much money they're spending on getting it to us. If it is something simple like a jewelry collection, and if they are open to it, we have, you know, our next limited edition showcases from Japan. And she wanted to send the piece to us. She just, you know, thought it would be, she chose that route. But we kind of keep it open to everyone, where if you want to keep, if it's a piece that cannot be easily shipped, where it's a lot of monetary investment to send it to us, you keep it with you. We will promote you. We will provide the platform. And then, you know, it's an understanding. I work on trust. I work on faith. I'm trying to do a good thing. And I, you know, if people want to cheat, they'll find a million ways to cheat. So
sure.
I don't have the bandwidth to kind of think through that. And I don't want to. I don't want to go down that path. I always try to keep it. This has emerged out of a very positive space in my mind. And I'm lucky that I've had the opportunity, because I feel like a lot of the times the energy between these makers and me, we connect on a different level. A language might be a barrier, you know, we may not speak the same way. We may not, you know, even the way sometimes they explain techniques. I'm not educated in painting, but there is, you know, that common, I think the common bonding is them getting what the brand is about.
Yeah.
And me saying that I'm here for you. This is what I can do for you. Let's work on it together. This is not about A, B, C, or D. It's never like that. It's very fluid. It's more about, what are the different ways where I can show your work and I can also kind of, you know, in the end, make it a successful business.
So you've been running this business now for nearly 2 years, I guess, but obviously
yes,
much more.
Two in June 2021.
Oh, nice. But much more planning before that time. During that time, what's been sort of the most surprising thing that you've learned?
You know, to go, I might sound repetitive, but I feel the most surprising thing is how open people are to this. I thought it would be an uphill task to explain the concept.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it's not it is an e-commerce platform, but it's not just a store. And it can go in multiple directions. That's the other thing. When I launched it, it was, hey, you make these five beautiful, you know, paintings, let's showcase that. Then it moved on to limited edition because of the pandemic. And they said, you know what, I can just make two pieces. I said, great, let's do limited edition. So things like it can go in multiple directions. And I feel like if people don't get that, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Because if you're stuck that, oh, it's not a shop, then what do you do? I just want to be associated with the shop. Great. But that's not my brand.
Mm.
But it has been, I would say, quite easy. And I think as time goes by, because we build on that and we have fine-tuned the messaging more and more, hopefully it's clear enough. And we get those kinds of people who kind of are on the same page. But I thought initially the problem would be me explaining that, yes, I'm going to showcase you. Yes, I'm going to show your pieces. But guess, you know what? I might actually take your pieces to a pop-up fair. And then I might do a radio show and I'll talk about the technique behind that.
Mm.
And let's do a video where we show you working in the studio. It could be confusing for people.
Mm.
It surprisingly was not. I think they got what I was trying to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And what are your future plans?
I don't know.
Pandemic permitting.
I have no idea. I think I've stopped making plans after 2020.
Fair enough. But I suppose what are your hopes for it? Where would you like to see it go?
You know, I would. The one thing I think would be, in my eyes, I think it would be, what's the word? I think I would bring down the, I think the bad thing for the brand would be if I became an institutionalized platform. So
okay.
I think that is the one thing I don't want. I will.
Don't sell out.
Yes, exactly. I hope not to, you know, that is my one hope.
Yeah.
The other hope, of course, is to attract talent from all over, you know. It's been an educative process for me too, because I have learned so much about not just the way people make it, but the way creators think.
Mm.
The way some people just, you know, while I'm talking about something, they, you know, they catch one word and they make something fantastic. And I think that that is such a special quality. You know, people who make, you know, when you make things, it's just people, those people deserve to be celebrated. So I just hope that it just gets to be a more collaborative as time goes by. Let me say that. I mean, I'm sure there are things I haven't thought of which could benefit them and the, you know, and Let's Curate simultaneously. But I just hope that as time goes by, and I hope it doesn't take a pandemic to for me to get inspired,
yeah.
But, you know, just to kind of find other ways to showcase this hidden talent that is all across and is just waiting to be discovered.
So if you could give one message to the listeners about why they should support the work of artisans, what would it be?
I would say, you know, artisans, independent artisans, their primary focus is taking time. I would say those are the two most crucial words for this entire, you know, behind this entire brand.
Mm.
They take time with the process. And because of that, you know, all these other buzzwords that are being spoken, sustainability, organic, that just comes naturally.
Mm.
When you have time to think, you will automatically think of these things because, you know, when you're in a rush to do things and that's when you try to do shortcuts. So I would say independent artisans are people who take the time to perfect their craft. They do it with love, despite all the challenges and despite this constant battle to, maybe this is not the right path. Maybe 10 years down the line, I may not have sold anything.
Mm.
I may not have found anyone who likes my work, but they go on. They care more about the craftsmanship rather than, and I know this for a fact, more than like 8 out of 10 people would care more about the craftsmanship and how they present the stuff rather than, oh, you know, let my budget is $500, few people think like that when they're actually true creators. So these are people who care about craftsmanship. They do things on a small scale. They do it with heart. I really think we've seen the world of mass-produced platforms. We've seen that. We've experienced it. It's great for a lot of people. But I know that there is another big group of people who may not completely be in line with this. And I want them to discover these artisans, give them a chance. You know, they'll surprise us. That is the bottom line. They'll surprise us if we give them the time to do what they really want to do.
I think that's such a nice message for us to end on. So if people have been interested to hear from you and about Let's Curate, what are your links on social media and online where people can go and have a look?
Yes. So the best way would be either to reach us via email, which is letscurateinfo@gmail.com. Is obviously Instagram, which is let's_curate. Either way, we are always, you know, we respond to every email and every message. So please do reach out to us. You know, even if we may not work together now, I will find a way to work with you at some point. So please do reach out to us.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for speaking to me today. It's been a real joy to hear kind of your passion around handmaking. And that's exactly what I'm trying to promote on the podcast as well. So this has been a good kind of meeting of the minds today. And I really appreciate your time talking to me.
Thank you so much, Anna. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for just giving you my whole, I felt like this was the first time I could speak about this after a very long time. But it's very, very dear to my heart. We need people like you to just, you know, kind of also be the bearer of these kinds of, you know, this kind of news where it's about handmade is important. And it's because of you that, you know, we also get to reach a wider audience. So thank you so much for that.
So that was the awesome Meghna Giridhar talking about her platform called Let's Curate. She's generously offered a discount code to all handmade listeners on Let's Curate. You can get 10% off any purchase on Let's Curate until the 31st of March 2021. If you enter the code LC10, that's L for leather, C for craft, 10, at checkout. So yeah, have a look at all the amazing stuff from around the world that is on there. That's everything for this week. As always, it'd be awesome if you could like and subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss out on any future episodes. If you feel like supporting the podcast with a one-time donation, you can do so at supporter.acast.com/handmade. Thanks a huge amount to everyone who's already done so for helping to keep us going there. Say hi on social media. We're on Twitter at Real Talk, that's RIAL Talk, and on Instagram at Handmade Pod. Huge thanks as always to Dave Shepherd for our cover art and to Alex Lathbridge for the music mix. Next week, I'm going to be talking to Michael White about the materials, tools, and processes used in precision engineering. So until then, take very good care, and I'll speak to you next time on Handmade.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.